The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Right, kickoff hour number two of the program. Pulls by Heritage UT Spring Practice Report. 8 days away until the April 24th Orange and White game at Neyland Stadium. Tyler Ivins and Will West, we open the door. We let in one of our favorites, super producer himself and the man on the beat. It's Eric Kaner. Kaner, good morning to you, man.
Yeah, good morning, guys. NCL practice number 10 of the spring session Thursday afternoon. Full pads. We're gearing up for a big scrimmage Saturday morning. My biggest takeaway from being out there yesterday, besides seeing VFO quarterbacks Eric Ainge and Jim Bob Cooter, was the energy level. It was kind of lacking a little bit. Wasn't really there on a Thursday when I was out there, and the coaches, as you'd expect, very animated in trying to fix it. Quarterbacks are focusing on pocket awareness drills, also taking part in some speed option drills with the running backs. That's the first time I've seen that this spring. Running backs later were seen running through the bag drills, working on ball security, being hit by some dummies. The defense, once again, focusing on tackling circuits and turnover circuits, trying to strip the football away from quarterbacks and focusing on scooping that ball up and finishing the drill. Mike Eckler met with the media following practice. That video and audio is up on our website, 991thesportsanimal.com. He had a couple of good zingers in there, so you want to check it out.
And how hot was his chili?
It was pretty hot. It was on fire, actually. Fire emoji. And Josh Heupel is scheduled to meet with the media Saturday morning following the scrimmage. But this scrimmage upcoming tomorrow morning, it's the big one of the spring. Of course, you have the orange and white game, but this is kind of that moving day scrimmage, meaning you move on the depth chart, you know, in a good way or another. So that was the Pools by Heritage football spring practice report. It's brought to you by, again, Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now. From design to construction to maintenance, one call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
So I ask immediately then, Kaner, why do you say that the energy was low yesterday?
You know, I think that it's practice 10, okay? So you're a couple weeks into this.
Sure.
You have a big scrimmage coming up on Saturday, and so your mind and your focus is probably looking towards that. You know, just some guys – I mean, it was just simple things. Like some guys – We're told to hustle a little bit more. Some guys were not lined up correctly. There was one drill. I was standing over there next to the running backs, and Tyon Evans, who has been pretty limited this spring, jumped in there and did the rep wrong. And Jerry Mack was very animated, saying, "Hey, get out of here. Give me somebody that's been here the whole time." So, you know, just stuff like that. It's nothing alarming or anything. I just remember back when I played, when you have something on the horizon, it's kind of like a trap game. When you have – you're playing Alabama next week, and you've got Vanderbilt this week. You're just kind of going through the motions. That's kind of what I looked at it as yesterday. But coaches were doing their part trying to get them out of that, and, of course, we were only there for about 20 minutes.
All right, okay, you had three different offensive linemen that spoke yesterday, Cade Mays, Cooper Mays, Jerome Carbon. Who did they say was the hardest to block? Because that's a big question is what that – you have guys on the defensive line that have been there a second, but not a lot of starts there. Who's been toughest to block for them?
So Cade Mays went first, and talking about being on the edge at right tackle, and who would you know it'd be, you know, he said Byron Young, and that's a name that we continue to hear more and more and more and more about as we go on throughout spring. Mike Eckler sung the praises of Byron Young yesterday as well, saying that, you know, Cade Mays said he's quick, he's got a great get off, he's athletic, has a good bend, and so he's probably been the toughest to block out on the edge. On the interior, Matthew Butler's name came into play, saying that he's experienced, he knows how to go about blocks. But all three of those guys, at different points or time during that question, all three of them said Elijah Simmons because he is a load to move, and saying that he's had a really good practice. So I thought that was interesting. Elijah Simmons was getting a lot of praise from those offensive linemen.
Overall, Kaner, with the big scrimmage coming up tomorrow, I guess the last thing that we have to ask is, are there other commits that perhaps maybe are going to be in-house for the orange and white game? You talk about the big names that have already been reeled in. Usually this is the time where you like to show things off, but clearly because of some recency, there are some reasons why we won't see a lot of those names on campus. So what are they doing when it comes to digital or virtually getting these guys on campus?
Yeah, so I'm sure there's going to be some prospects in-house for the orange and white game. There were a couple guys that came and watched that open practice. Don't have a list just yet, but
right.
Tennessee continues to do a great job. They, you know, it's amazing to me how college coaches, how all of us, but in the terms of recruiting with this dead period going on, how creative they've been virtually. I mean, you've got prospects that are sitting in on practice. You've got GAs and assistants and everybody going around with selfie sticks, and giving them a firsthand view of what practice is like during individual, during 11-on-11. I mean, you got prospects sitting in on practice just about every day. It's pretty incredible. So I would suspect there to be a couple of guys in-house for Tennessee's Orange and White game. The month of June is going to be just incredible in terms of that's when everything's opening back up. There's official yesterday, the Division I Council said that everything's going to go back to the normal recruiting period. So Tennessee's already lined
up. That's beginning June 1st, by the way, that date, right?
Yeah, June 1st. And right. Tennessee and other schools have already lined up some official visits and stuff. So we will have to see. But nonetheless, Tennessee, two commits already this week in the span of back-to-back days. The Wade twins of Middle Tennessee will be making their decision in terms of Tennessee or Kentucky later today. I do believe it's leaning more Kentucky right now, but certainly a long way to go.
Caner, we appreciate it as always. 656-9900.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Tennessee recruiting stays hot. Rick Barnes brings in another five-star big man in Brandon Huntley Hatfield and adds him to a reloaded front court, while Josh Heupel notches his second commit in as many days in three-star defensive end Vincent Snead. Renia Davis and Lady Vols, a top 10 pick in the WNBA draft last night.
With the ninth pick in the 2021 WNBA draft, the Minnesota Lynx select Renia Davis from the University of Tennessee.
Charlie Collier of Texas went first overall to the Dallas Wings. The Division I Council officially approved all Division I sports to return to their regular recruiting calendars beginning June 1st. The recruiting dead period has been in effect since March 13th of 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The NFL, Cordarrelle Patterson has signed a one-year deal to join the Atlanta Falcons. The Seahawks are signing pass rusher Alden Smith to a one-year deal. Atlanta Braves needed a walk-off but finally jumped back into the win column over the Marlins yesterday.
Broken back.
Chip Gary on the call, Wally Sports, Atlanta 7, Miami 6. And the Lakers came up short against the Celtics 121-113 in late night hoops. Have fun now and later with Quick Cash from the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by your nearest retailer and add Quick Cash, your Tennessee Cash, Lotto America, and Cash for Life ticket. Pete Michaels traffic's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Hey, Lane.
They wouldn't blow a lead coaching in the Super Bowl. Tyler Ivins and Will West are the starting lineup. 99.1, the sports animal.
Where Tennessee status is among the level of blue bloods. And Will, I'm a tier system guy. You're a tier system guy. And I'm telling you, if you're starting to nail shelves to the wall and wondering what level you put them on, what shelf of tier you put them on, it's not near the top, Will. It doesn't take the tallest person in the world to be able to reach up and grab the Clemsons and Alabamas. And unfortunately for a lot of Tennessee fans out there, the Volunteers not even close to that tier one, shelf one, Alabama, Clemson level right now.
Yeah, it's you know, I saw this on Twitter. Some members of all Twitter are debating this a couple days ago and sounded like a good Friday topic. So we're throwing it out there. Look, for me right now, I don't understand how you could make the argument that Tennessee is still – it's still a college football blue blood, right?
Right.
I don't make that. I don't understand how we could make that conversation. ESPN in the end of January did an article where they ranked college football teams for right now, according to tiers. They have Tennessee at tier six with Maryland, Florida State, Michigan State, Nebraska. I think that's probably about the same company that they should be in. It's kind of at the back end of not the worst of the power conference teams, but close to the worst of the power conference teams. Tennessee right now, I still think that Tennessee has it's a weird case study, Tyler, because I think that Tennessee still has all the ingredients to be a blue blood.
Sure.
They just have not had I'll just say it. The boosters have been in the way, and it's not like one booster would have made a bad decision, but when you put that many people in one room all trying to make tough decisions like this, and you got to split hairs that many times, you end up with something bad that happens out of it. And so that's what's happened with Tennessee football, in my opinion, over the last decade plus. But you can't put Tennessee at the top tier or even close to the top tier right now as far as program rankings because they haven't had results in literally a generation of football players. So with that being the case, I look at Tennessee and say, could they be a blue blood in 3 years? Yes. Are they even close to being a blue blood right now? Absolutely not. But all the ingredients are still there outside of going and hiring a good coach, frankly.
From the turn of the century, Will, how many times has Tennessee recorded double-digit win totals?
Zero.
the turn of the century?
No, I'm sorry. I was thinking since 2010.
Yeah.
Are we at 3?
4.
4, okay.
01, 03, 04, and 07. 11, 10, 10, and 10. Ainge, of course, the popular comment, last quarterback under center for Tennessee whenever they had double-digit win totals. Since the turn of the decade, the last decade, better said, 6, 5, 5, 5, 7, 9, 9, 4, 5, 8, and a 3-7 finish last year. Okay, teams that are on that blue blood tier one were having just a rough go at it. They're not producing those type of numbers. So in that conversation we just had last week, Will, when it was, or maybe it's been 2 weeks now, that blue blood college basketball level, sorry, UCLA, sorry, Indiana, you're no longer part of this exclusive club. I think that you can say the same thing about two programs in college football. Sorry, Nebraska. Sorry, Tennessee. You're no longer invited to this party, and your membership has been revoked. Well, I think it's going to take some serious, serious damage control, and maybe Josh Heupel's staff can be who does it. But right now, Tennessee, to me, no. They don't get their card punched. They're not part of this elite club that is the blue blood or the best of college football again.
I would throw two more programs in there that say are no longer blue bloods. Notre Dame's no longer a blue blood, in my opinion. Florida State's no longer a blue blood, in my opinion. Right now, if I were to say who are the blue bloods, let's do it like we did the college basketball conversation
okay.
last week. Who are the blue bloods right now in college football?
Bama, Clemson,
Ohio State, Oklahoma.
Yes, the Drew Blank.
No, you're good. Is there anybody else? Is there a fifth team that's a blue blood right now? Georgia, is Georgia a blue blood?
No. And if I say no to Georgia, I got to say no to Michigan.
Yeah.
And if I say no to Michigan, then I see that Notre Dame one, man. That one sticks out, though. I don't know if I agree with you about Notre Dame. Because, see, here's the thing. In my opinion, if your coach has more say than your athletic director and likely the president, like if you run your own show, if the college football program in your town, whoever the head coach is, gets to call, even has that call with over the AD and can have a sit down, go directly to the president chat or the chancellor chat, then you're considered a blue blood. And in recent memory, the three schools that essentially they had every beck and power snap a finger call, Nick Saban, Urban Meyer at Ohio State, and Brian Kelly at Notre Dame.
It's Penn State still a blue blood? Because I don't think they are either. I think they're on that Georgia-Michigan tier right now.
No. I think our list might be 5, and one of us agrees that Notre Dame shouldn't be on that. One of us says no to Notre Dame. I say yes to Notre Dame.
I just Notre Dame can't walk into – Notre Dame's not put a lot of guys in the NFL. I don't expect Notre Dame to be great any year ever. If they make the college football playoff, it's a surprise, not an expectation. I don't think Notre Dame even has the expectations that they're that. Now, so do they have tradition? Yes, they have tradition, but tradition and blue blood is not the same thing. Blue blood is a fluid thing right now. And I think, especially when you talk about since the college football playoff, I can't put them there, even though they're the school with the most tradition, probably in college football, definitely in college football. And their brand still matters to older people. I don't know that their brand matters that much to players.
So we're in agreement of Oklahoma, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, and one of us would let Notre Dame into the party. The other one would say, sorry, next door down.
Is USC a blue blood right now?
No.
No, they're not.
No.
I agree.
The second Pete Carroll signed that the ink dried in Seattle, he walked out with their card. He walked out with their card. There's no saying that either.
Well, they also just keep going with the family hire quotation fingers. That is a horrible decision. You know what I mean? Every single time. What Texas? We have Baden asked about Texas.
I just got a tweet as well from Marshall that said, "What about Texas?" No. I mean they were definitely picking the punch of the party whenever they were taking Colt McCoy against Alabama to the national championship game. Vince Young playing Pete Carroll in USC New Year's Day. Yeah, there used to be a case. They've definitely been in the blue blood category more recently than Tennessee has, but right now they're not. I think our conversation, much like the basketball, Carolina, Kentucky, Duke, and Duke, Kentucky, Carolina. Who's the
Kansas.
Fourth school? In Kansas. So our blue bloods in college basketball was a total of 4. I think you and I right now are agreeing it's a slam dunk 4 in college football. Oklahoma, yep. Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama.
you and I had to question a fifth one with UCLA and or Indiana, and I think we're questioning a fifth one right now. One of us say yay, nay to Notre Dame. So I think the conversation, it's exclusive to that many parties. It's just who are the actual names. And that's and that's okay, and that's a fair conversation to have today. I think that Notre Dame conversation is more intriguing. There's more meat on that bone. We need to come back to it. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Five burning questions. Chandler Emerson decided to slide in and give Will a win yesterday. Not controversial, just more shocking.
He runs Tanner, a tight ship, though, I hear.
He runs a tighter than you. Tighter than you.
Oh, I saw.
So why don't you restore order coming up on the other side? 99.1, you're listening to the Esports Animal.
All right, boys, with no NCAA tournament or Masters this weekend, what's the most compelling sporting event on TV this weekend?
Look, I know right now both teams are struggling, but they're both still brand names. It's the battle of the former networks, WGN versus TBS. It's Braves Cubs for me. They're still two of the most popular fan bases in all of baseball, and if one team wins that series, whoever takes two or three or sweeps, they're going to be rejuvenated for next week.
All right, so I was already going to lose this because of my choice, but now then Ivins does the whole "no town rocks like Knoxville" with it, but from the rock band that comes to the Coliseum and plays by giving the homer call to Eric Kane there. It is the FA Cup semifinal. Manchester City has a chance to pull what they call the quadruple. I don't know that it's ever been done. Usually what they call a treble, which means you win FA Cup, Champions League, and the Premier League all in one year, is something that's unheard of. They have a chance to win the Football League Cup, the FA Cup, the Champions League, and the EPL all in the same year. They're playing Chelsea, who's also in the Champions League semifinals. Man City against Chelsea is a massive matchup in soccer this weekend.
Do you read anything into Justin Fields now being the betting favorite for the Niners with the third overall pick?
I do, and I do think that changing his footwork has been a difference maker for Kyle Shanahan. And one of the guys that's been working with him is a former Mike Shanahan disciple. I didn't realize that there's a relationship there with Kyle Shanahan with Justin Fields from the past. I do think that the work and changing his footwork to the way that Kyle Shanahan wanted the footwork to be has been a difference maker. And seeing that he's been the kind of guy that can put in that work, Ivins, I do think he'll go third now.
Yeah, look, to everything Will said, plus you know me, I'm kind of a let me create my cheat sheet based on what the numbers tell me, based on what the books tell me. And right now this is a bad, bad look for a lot of people who thought Trey Lance was going to go ahead of Justin Fields. I think you could almost stamp it now. I really do. They don't change in this favor this large this quickly unless there is a massive overhaul. And there's a reason why we see Justin Fields' numbers improve to number three. Fields is going three to San Francisco. And then the question now begins, Lance or Jones, who's the fourth and who's the fifth quarterback? Yeah, Will, go ahead, Niners fans, get your Justin Fields jerseys. He's going to be taken third in 13 days.
So why are wide receivers sliding down the draft boards in the latest mocks?
I think because they know that there are so many great wide receivers that are out there. I buy into what Will said yesterday about how deep the position is, but what's happening is that there are a lot of teams that are trading back their capital who need wide receivers the most, and those guys are still seen to be there at 9, 11, 14, and so forth. To me, it's tight, but also it's depth that's also there for a lot of those players.
It is the depth. It is the depth at the position. There are four guys who probably have first-round grades, maybe five if you want to go that route with Elijah Moore. There are 17 to 20 guys in the top 100 players in this draft if you look at most of the big boards as far as that from the wide receiver position. So if there are a few, aren't a lot of tackles, so if I can get my tackle early and then I can get Rondale Moore instead of getting Devonta Smith, I'll take Rondale Moore instead of Devonta Smith. Or if I can get Elijah Moore and I have to pass up on Jamar Chase to draft a quarterback, so be it. I'll draft a quarterback and we'll move back. So there just are so many of them. You have an opportunity to get a legitimate Amari Rodgers is probably a starter in the NFL. You have a starter in the NFL that you can get in the second or third round of this draft at the wide receiver position. So it allows you to have some of those other drafts, some of those other positions earlier that you actually need just as much.
Today is Bill Belichick's 69th birthday. Will Hoodie make another Super Bowl in New England?
Oh, say it.
No, I don't think he'll win another division in New England. I don't think it's going to happen. And I think he would walk away if it wasn't a matter of trying to prove that he can get there again with Tom Brady. But I think he leveraged this team's future with what he did in free agency this year, and I think he overpaid for a lot of dudes, which shows me one thing. Desperation, he ain't going to get there.
It ain't happening. Will, spot on. I didn't think he was going to go division deep like I was going to, but he sure did. So let's fold out that blanket. Let's have a picnic together here on the bottom of the AFC East. Like, it's not Jets territory, but he sure as heck ain't Bills territory either. They're not winning another division. They're not making it to another Super Bowl. I do think they shake up the draft, though. I think you're going to see them and the Falcons trade, and I think Trey Lance is going to be the product of the New England Patriots by this time in 3 weeks. So, to me personally, they find a quarterback, but they don't find their way back to the big game, no.
The disrespect. I can't believe you guys.
I spit on that name.
Where does Tennessee football program rank among the schools in the SEC?
Okay, we're talking overall, all right? We're talking about when it comes to track records. We're talking about making it our own. We're talking about where they once were and where they are now. Tennessee's fifth to me right now. Fifth, all right? Not better than Bama, not Florida, not Georgia. I'm even going to give the nod to LSU because of their national championship 2 years ago, all right? To me, out of 14 schools in the SEC, I have the Vols currently fifth.
Yeah, Tennessee is seventh. Now, they have the ability to be first, but they are seventh right now. I can't put them ahead of Texas A&M right now.
Sure
I can't
can.
Put them ahead of Auburn when Auburn, in a, since Tennessee's
sure
won double-digit games, Auburn's not won a national title and been to another national title game. So Tennessee's third in the East right now behind Georgia and Florida. Tennessee, there are four teams out of the West, Alabama, LSU, A&M and Auburn, in whatever order you want to put those last two, that are all ahead of Tennessee right now in the pecking order, but they're ahead of those other schools behind them.
All right, let the record show, Will, you dominated Tyler in that last question, but Tyler had me at Braves and Cubs, sorry, from the get-go.
Yeah, that's okay. Tyler was on his game today, and I was long-winded, so I think that was a fair judgment on your part.
No, but look, hey, can we let me just – look, as much as I really want to get back into this Belichick thing, you're really putting both Auburn and A&M ahead of Tennessee right now. I know you made it your own, but
– yeah.
I misspoke. Over the complete track record.
No. But right now was the question. Is right now, where do you rank these programs? Tennessee's. I still rank Tennessee ahead of South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Kentucky.
Even
though Kentucky's been better more recently.
I didn't hear Kaner say right now. Because if that was the case, I would have had him in like eighth.
To be fair, right now was not in the question.
Oh, was it not? Okay,
Where does Tennessee's football program rank among
all
schools in the SEC?
To me, it's still fluid in this. I can't put Tennessee ahead of a team that, since they've won double digits, the team's won a national championship and been to another national championship.
Should I put Auburn ahead of them? Okay, fine, fair. They should be six, but they're not at A&M. No, I'm not putting A&M's track record.
A&M's been good in the last decade and a half.
Again, I'm looking at entire track records. I'm not letting A&M cheat me out of what the garbage Big 12 or Big 8 used to be and then tell me what the – but Arkansas was in the Big –
Care. Historically, historically, Tennessee's better than Texas A&M.
That's the way I was looking at it.
So you're just looking at the history. So you're just talking about tradition kind of
anything
else. Okay.
That's why Tennessee's lost with the blue blood card.
I would say Tennessee is a better tradition than LSU. I would say Tennessee is a better tradition than Georgia. I would say Tennessee is a better tradition than Florida. So I would say it's Bama 1. I'd probably put Tennessee 2 if we were going on tradition. If I'm going on where's the program – I'm still going to put everybody that has around the same revenue as Tennessee ahead of Tennessee because they have more results.
Yeah, welcome back, Eric Kane, giving me the W. Much obliged, and I appreciate it. I'll take that each and every time. You know, right now, Will, they're setting up and putting their aprons on. Local elected officials, community leaders, and certain media personalities. We're doing our show right now virtually, so we want to give a big shout-out to the O'Connor Senior Center. Will, right now, up until noon, you can get pancakes and sausage to go, pre-packed. Just sit there. They're going to make them hot, fresh, put them in a to-go box. You're going to be ready to go. That's a $5 donation. And, Will, they've got a 7-digit phone number right now. I know you're hungry. I'm hungry. Kaner, we will even tip you if you can make this happen, 523-1135.
That's right. Look, it's $5. You can enjoy a to-go box of pancakes, sausage, your choice of orange juice, apple juice, coffee, or milk. Gluten-free and sugar-free options are available at all benefits at O'Connor Senior Center. The 2021 Pancake Fest drive-thru, it's an annual fundraising event for the O'Connor Senior Center. Celebrities are going to be there. But if you want it for $5, pancakes, sausage, and you're going to get your drink with that as well, you can't beat that price. And it's all going to a great cause. It's at 611 Winona Street in Knoxville. Usually it's a who's who of people in East Tennessee. Whenever they have this event, it's a drive-through event this year. So if you want to pick up some pancakes and bless those folks in your office on a Friday morning, or pick some up for yourself and meet them in the parking lot and dread having to walk in and see those people. Whichever place you're at with your current place of employment, you can stop by for just $5 and take care of breakfast.
That's Will West. Good morning. My name is Tyler Ivins. This is Eric Kane. He's got your next Tennessee Lottery sports update here on the starting lineup.
He was once busted for performance-enhancing drugs during a cornhole tournament. Will West in the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
And that being said, Will, both Johnson and Springer are going to be NBA lottery picks coming up in June. Look, maybe it's just hype. You got to get the numbers on the floor. A lot of people, Josiah Jordan James coming out of South Carolina, a lot of hype. And what's he going to do once he still continues to develop his game even to today? But, Will, with the turnover and the size that Tennessee was losing, whether it's to graduation, NBA transfer, so far, man, this is the type of stuff that bridges you over to next October, November, when Tennessee basketball tips off again.
One thing that I would say with this, the transfer window, reclassifying recruits, all that stuff, it's the don't hit the player, hit the game, right? There's a lot of people that have been against this, and they don't want to see what we're seeing. Roy Williams even said, just wanted out because of what's going on with college basketball. Rick Barnes is taking advantage of it. Mike White's taking advantage of it. Bruce Pearl's taking advantage of it. We could see a power shift in college basketball because of this right now. Because when you see teams that rely on one-and-done guys don't go particularly far in the tournament. But teams that have a veteran team that add one single one-and-done guy, maybe two, that's who seems to have the success in the tournament. But when I look at what Tennessee's doing, when I look at what Auburn's doing, when I look at what Florida's doing right now, I can't look at this and help but think, Kansas, Carolina, Duke have been fed by the shoe companies. Arizona is the other Adidas school. They've been fed by the shoe companies. Hey, here you go. Here are the players. We've given them $500,000, $750,000. And you get this player. We put them with you. I just can't help but wonder with the way that this transfer thing is going to go, and it's to some extent one-time free agency in college basketball. Are we going to see a turnover in a change in power and a turnover with this, because this is disruption, right, to the college basketball world? And so if I'm a kid right now and I can go be a, you know, if I can go to Tennessee, if I can go to Auburn, if I can go to Florida, and I look at it, I'm not just having to go to the same schools over the third option. Like, what was the guy's name that was the guard at Duke that got drafted by the Bulls? Was it Wendell Carter? Was that his name?
Yeah. Yeah, Wendell Carter.
If I'm Wendell Carter and I can go somewhere and be the number one or two options instead of being the number three option on a team, I'm going to go do that. Or the number four option on a team, and you're just drafting me up, and maybe I get drafted ninth on potential. If I got a chance to go prove myself and improve my game, I think I might do that. And when I see what Tennessee's doing right now with the way that they've had, what's this, four top 20 recruits in two classes?
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's not something Tennessee does. And then also you're adding a quality transfer, another foreign player to that. I just can't help but wonder if what we're seeing disruption right now, Netflix-level disruption in college basketball, and who the Blue Bloods are right now, maybe we need to pay attention because they're not going to be the Blue Bloods in 5 years.
That's fantastic. Great stuff from Will West as we head towards the game. And, you know, Will, we're talking about how hungry people are this morning. Our friends at Buddy's Barbecue wanting listeners to pick up the telephone. Callers 1 and 2 right now, you have a chance to have your lunch and dinner plans taken care of over the next couple of days. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. You want to play the game? We do it next on The Sports Animal.